friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it's Inspirational Truth Time once again. And I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Therefore, that means He can be yours if you'll ask Him to. Well, I do hope, like Todd just said, the program, the message, and the song, the music is a blessing to you. And I believe it will be because we're taking it from the Word of God. I've opened my Bible to the book of Philippians, but I'm going to be going to the book of John chapter 11. So the book of Philippians chapter 3 and John chapter 11, if you can look at your Bible, and if you do while I preach, if not, I'll do my best to read it as correctly as I can as I share the text passage with you and the story, that narrative that John gives us of a great truth found in John chapter 11. And I'll do that just as soon as Debbie gets done singing a song. Listen, friend, the subject that God has laid on my heart, look, I don't care what time of the year it is. I don't care what season it is. It's always relative. It's always pertinent. It's always important to every man, woman, and boy and girl who will consider it. And well, that's what Debbie's song is going to be about too. Something that she wrote quite a long time ago. And I know that it's going to be a blessing to everybody listening. The title of it is, "He Got Up." And listen, friend, because He got up, if you know Him, you can get up someday too. Again, I'll be in the book of Philippians chapter 3. Also in the book of the Gospel according to John. I'll see you in just a moment there.
He got up on the third day. Not keep Him down. He couldn't keep Him in the grave. Satan thought He had defeated, but that was Friday evening. Then Sunday came and He got up. The crowd had gathered round Him to watch Him bleed and die. Some could not understand why Jesus was crucified. But what they had forgotten, this was God's own Son. Death could not hold Him down. The victory had been won. He got up on the third day when the stone was rolled away. Death could not keep Him down. He couldn't keep Him in the grave. Couldn't keep Him in the grave. Satan thought He had defeated. But that was Friday evening. Then Sunday came and He got up. He has risen. He has risen. Death could not hold Him down. He got up.
Like that, friend, I'll tell you what, that's good news. I told him the other morning at our sunrise service just a few days ago, I said, "Do you know where the greatest news man ever heard came from? It came out of a graveyard." Thank God, thank God, thank God. When the women went to anoint a dead body, the men didn't even go. You know what the angel said? "Why seek ye the living among the dead? Behold, He is risen." Thank God. Thank God, because I live, Jesus said, ye shall live also. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Word of God says this, and it's the words of the Apostle Paul, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. That's all I'm going to read out of that grand verse of Scripture we find in this great epistle. And it follows something that Paul said about himself. It follows Paul's personal mini autobiography. That's how I refer to the third chapter of the book of Philippians. Paul tells us in that passage just above this verse 10 in Philippians chapter 3 about what he was and what he gave up so that he might win Christ. So that by faith he may get what he was seeking for in trying to keep the law and all the works that he as an apostle, he as a man, he as a Jew was trying to do. But oh, when he come to find out that there was a more excellent righteousness than that which the law could provide and that he himself could produce, he said, oh, look, friend, I counted all those other things as but dung. He said, I gave it all up that I might win Christ. And Paul goes on to say, now watch how this is written. Paul said that I may know him. Look, it's not enough to have academic knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's not enough to be able to know the Word of God, to be able to quote it, to be able to regurgitate it under any situation there is. We know, hey, listen, we need to know more about Jesus in the Word of God than we know the Word of God about Jesus. And I believe those two things go together if you're saved. But Paul said that I might know Him and watch this, the power of His resurrection. Listen, friend, I'm afraid there's a lot of us that are believers, those of us that have named the name of Christ, those of us who have knelt at the altar of prayer and said, God save me, I'm a sinner. Those of us who know the power of the blood to wash away our sins. Those of us who know the sweetness of the testimony of the Spirit dwelling within us, sealing us, bless God, sealing us that we belong to Jesus Christ. Hey, witnessing to us that our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm afraid that too few of us know the power of His resurrection as it is available. Listen to what I'm going to say. Paul wasn't talking about the resurrection that was future. He knew someday that he would get that. He knew that someday those who were alive would be changed. Those who were dead would be caught up. He knew, friend, that they would be changed too. He knew in the resurrection. He even gave us the revelation of the rapture as God gave it to him. But I want you to know that Paul said, listen, I'm not talking about a day out in the future. I'm not talking about something that's just theologically true. I'm talking about the resurrection power of Jesus living in my life, coursing through my soul daily, friend, so that I might be what I ought to be, so that I might do what I ought to do, so that I might become what I ought to become. Paul said, now in this present time, now in every situation of life, now in every moment of living for Jesus on His footstool, I want to know the power of His resurrection. Oh, I believe this truth is played out in the 11th chapter of the book of John's Gospel. Oh, what a great record that is. What a great narrative that is. And I want you to know as we could read this, and I suppose that I better, and I'm going to start at verse 20, and read rather quickly after I tell you what happened. You all know that Jesus was away from Jerusalem, away from Bethany, away from the friends that He had come to be close with, Mary and Martha, and their brother by the name of Lazarus. He was a 2-day journey away from them, and Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, fell sick. Well, you know, the Bible says that Jesus loved them. Jesus loved Lazarus. And while Mary and Martha sent they sent somebody to tell Jesus that Lazarus was sick, like he did not know. They sent a messenger. That's what I couldn't think of just a moment ago. They sent a messenger to Jesus and said, look, he whom thou lovest is sick. Jesus, what it looked like to man, delayed his going to Bethany, delayed his doing what they knew he could do, what they wanted him to do, but he had a reason for it. Well, we pick it up here when Jesus had finally told his apostles that we're going to Bethany so that he might awake Lazarus out of his sleep or out from the dead. They all went. Now look in verse 20, and Martha met Jesus in verse 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them and concerning the brethren. Then Martha assumed, And she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou ask, thou will ask of God, and God will give it to thee. Hey, do you know what? Martha's kind of like me and you. Listen, hey, Jesus was God. And Martha said, if you only ask God to do something, Jesus, He'll do it for you. And then she turns around and said, I know that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, Paul said that I might know Him. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall live again. And Martha saith unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. But Jesus said, listen to this. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, which should come into this world. Can I tell you, sir, ma'am, that ever since Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, every Jew was well aware of the statement, I am, thank God. They knew the significance of that, for God had told Moses to tell his people that I am, that I am, had sent me. So as we listen to the narrative of John, as we listen to the narrative of these events that he recorded in chapter 11, I'm going to ask you something. Where do you find yourself? Where do you find yourself? Who do you align with? Do you align with Mary? Do you align with Martha? Are you Lazarus that's dead and needed raised? Are you aligning with his friends, all the company that came from Jerusalem and the surrounding city of Bethpage and Bethany itself? Look, friend, look, it's obvious that faith was active. Faith was active, or else Mary and Martha would not have sent for him. The apostles would have not joined him. Thomas would have not said, let us go with him that we may also die with him. Faith was active. Listen to what verse 37 said. And some of them said, could not this man have opened the eyes of the blind that caused even this man should have not died? Hey, they had faith. They knew what Jesus had done. And when they picked the statement of saying he opened the eyes of the blind, they were saying, we see messianic evidence in him. We think that this is the anointed of God, that promised one, that Messiah, that Yeshua HaMashiach. They had faith, but listen, friend, it was limited. It was limited. They thought that he could open blind eyes. They thought that he could even heal the sick, but all he could do so much more. Their faith with that was active. Yes, it was, but it was limited. And their knowledge was in place. Oh, look, they had a knowledge. Mary said, listen, if you'd have been here, our brother had not died. Martha said, if you'd have been here, our brother had not died. I want you to know the apostles had knowledge. The town folks knew who Jesus was, but listen, they didn't know him either. Martha said, listen, I know that my brother shall rise in the last day. Look, friend, Mary and Martha's faith that Jesus could heal was unshakable. I mean, to tell you, they believed that with all of their heart, but it was lacking. It was lacking when it comes to raising him out from among the dead, bringing him back to life. So I want you to think, friend, in this picture that we have here, we're presented with the only three aspects of life. The only three aspects of life that can be seen. We have them here, as I've just read verse 37, where they said, look, could this man not this man should have not died. He could open. Let me read it. Let me just get it right. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have called that this man should not have died? Listen, friend. The friends, their friends around, they're looking to the past. They said Jesus could keep Lazarus from dying. They said he could do certain things. You hear me? He could have kept Lazarus from dying. He could have healed the sickness that he had. But look at the future. Mary and Martha both said, "Listen, we know that our brothers shall live." They had orthodox faith. That they had a good grip. Theology. They believe what Job had said when he said, "Listen, though after the skin worms destroy this flesh, yet in my body shall I see him for myself and not another." In Job chapter 19, I want you to know in verse 24, they have that kind of faith because Martha said, "I know that my brother shall rise at the last day." But look where Jesus wanted to bring them. He wanted to bring them out of the past. He wanted to bring them back from the future. And he wanted to get them into the present. You see, Jesus was trying to make truth alive. He was trying to make it real in the present tense where they were at with the fact that they had a need. And he was trying to bring them into what seemed to be an impossible situation. And can I tell you, friend, it was. If it weren't for Jesus, listen, that's what Jesus wants for me and you today. Bless God by seeing and knowing Him and just trusting in Him. We can come to understand that He now, today, can take that impossible situation and turn it into something more than possible. Or it can be glorious and it can be joyous even right now. Now I want you to know, friend, there are some common contrasts that I believe are manifest here. I believe that with all of my heart, friend. I saw some things in studying for this and trying to prepare my heart to share with you and preach to you this fact that Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." I saw some things that I'd never seen before. Listen, friend, there's some contrasts that manifest themselves here. And look at what they are. They're manifest in the words "I know" and in the words "I am." Now look, friend, I want you to know Mary had an academic knowledge. So did Martha have an academic knowledge. Even the town folks had an academic knowledge. I believe the apostles did, don't you? I believe when Martha spoke here and said, I believe she said this, "Yea, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ. I'm the Son of the living God which should come into this world." Sounded a lot like what Peter said in Matthew 16, didn't it? Sounded a lot like what he said when they were up at Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And whom do ye say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ. I'm the Son of the living God." Look, they had academic knowledge. They said, "I know, I know, I know." But you know what Jesus wanted them to have? He wanted them to have the practical knowledge. Now look at the contrast of that. It's one thing to have a head knowledge of something. It's one thing to have an academic knowledge, something that you learn, but look at what Paul said in Philippians 3:10, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection." Thank God Paul said, "Listen, I want the power of that resurrected Christ. I want it flowing in my veins. I want it motivating my faith. I want it anchoring my soul. I want it to make the impossible possible today, not tomorrow. I'm not worried about the past. I can't change it. But Paul said, I need Him now. Paul said, I need Him here. Paul said, I need Him in this state that I'm in. Paul said, I need more than something that's merely academic, something that's merely theologically correct and orthodoxy sound. I need something that's practical, something that's tangible, something that I can lay hold on here, something that will sustain me." Listen, I believe most of us have a difficulty with this, don't you? We seem to possess enough faith to believe that, yeah, one of these days, Jesus can do something. I mean, when this life is over, we're going to be a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things are become new. But Jesus said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Hallelujah. And Paul said that I may know Him. and the power of His resurrection. Listen to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Let me begin reading. I've got to read quickly with verse 15. Paul said this, "Wherefore also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is, get this, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that named His name, not only in this world, but in also in the next." Paul said, "I gotta know Him now." And Paul prayed for the church that we might. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. We find an axe head that went to the bottom of the Jordan that was raised. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen. Jesus is able to raise the fallen up. Do you hear? He's able to do it now. He's able to do it today. He's able to raise you up regardless of how far you've gone. I want you to know, listen, friend, grace. Grace goes lower than sin does. Paul said where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. I'm here to tell you, sinner friend. I'm here to tell you, brother, sister in Christ. God is able to pick you up. God is able to raise you from that sunken place. Do you hear? Where ignorance took you. Where disobedience took you. Where your nature took you. Where sin took you. Where your choice took you. God is able to raise you up today. In the book of Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. I'm telling you, He's able to bring you out of the pit, able to bring you out of the mire, able to bring you out of the clay. Hey, regardless of your pit, He doesn't specify. Doesn't matter what your pit you're in the pit of despair, in the pit of depression, in the pit of sin, in the pit of whatever you want to call it. David said, listen, He's able to deliver. He delivered me out of the hand of Saul. He delivered me out of the hand of the lion, Paul the lion. He delivered me out of the paw of the bear. And you know what? I bless God, He'll deliver thee. Paul said that God had delivered him out of the mouth of a lion. Thank God. If He delivered one of His children, He can deliver another one. Now let me say something here. He may deliver you through it. Do you hear me? But He'll deliver you out of it. In the book of Luke chapter 15, you can look at verse 24, and I'm not going to take time to read that. But it says something like this. The prodigal son's father was rejoicing because his son that was dead is alive again. Listen, sir, you may be saved. You may have your sins under the blood, but you've fallen. You've missed the mark. You come short of the glory of God. Can I tell you? Paul said that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Oh, you can get up again. You can get out of that pig pen. You can get back to Father's house. You can have that fellowship restored. You can be assured that you have that eternal life dwelling in you. But listen, the Son had a choice. Lay, listen, the Son of the Father had to decide, I'm getting out of the pig pen. This isn't where I belong. I'm a son. I don't belong here. This is for pigs. I'm going back home. And when Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, Lazarus had to respond. Let me tell you, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you that are sinners, and Paul tells us, you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, friend, he can can pick you up. He can clean you up. He can stand you up. He can fill you up. He can tune you up, David said in Psalm 40 and 3. Thank God, listen, Fred. He said in Psalm 23 and 3, he said, He restoreth my soul. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the resurrection. He was standing there at Bethany before Martha and before Mary, outside a tomb where Lazarus was already stinking, and he said, just roll back the stone. Look, sir, ma'am, if you'll just come to him today, if you'll confess where you're at, he knows who you are. You just ask him to meet your need. You just ask him to pick you up. You ask him to deliver you. You ask him to raise you up. You believe that he will. You don't wait for tomorrow. You do it today. You seek his face. You call on his name. You go to him humbly. You go to him repenting. You go to him expecting. You go to him trusting. You run to the one that says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And I'll tell you, he'll do something for you now. He'll do something for you today. I am, Jesus said, the resurrection. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, let me know what Jesus brought you out of today. Until next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.